All right, guys, you guys go ahead and head back to your seats. Give somebody a high five on your way back. Yeah, I got to tell you guys, I think we got the best band in the world. I almost cry every time I listen to these guys play. Isn't Catalyst amazing? Can we give Catalyst a big hand for being fantastic and amazing? Thank you, guys. London, would you get out of the way, London? Jeez, I'm trying to get to my Bible and stuff, and London's just distracted. Thank you. Yeah, London was in the way. Sorry, guys. I would have got here a lot sooner, but I had to, you know, fight London to my Bible. So anyways, how is everybody today? Fabulous, fantastic, amazing. Well, I'm a little darker than usual today. I was playing football this weekend, and it was a very, very hot day. But I got to tell you, my team won in football today. We had Sean Crazy Legs Quintero on my team. I had Donnie the Enforcer Forbes on my team. John the Animal Cat Cart on my team. And then, you know, Lou Mad Dog Guevara was on my team. And we won. We totally demolished Tori's team and Antonio's team and Crispy's team and Perry's team. They want me to talk about Ultimate Frisbee. I don't want to bring that subject up because we lost, but we didn't lose that bad. And, you know, I had to a couple of sorry sucky people on my team. No, they did a good job on Ultimate Frisbee. Whatever. So anyways, since we lost Ultimate Frisbee, but we did win in football, I am really jazzed about that because I love football more than Ultimate Frisbee. I'm sorry. Any football players in here? Anyone? I love football. All right. So let's get into the word before I start talking about football. So let's make sure this is God's message, not my own message. So let's go ahead and close our eyes and bow our heads. So, Father God, we just want to come to you, Lord, and thank you, Father, for everything you've done for us, Lord. We ask, Lord, that this message is your message, not my own message. And we just want to thank you, Father God, that I get to be the instrument to play your song today, Father God. I ask that you teach us, Lord, and that we all hear it, Lord, and we're all able to put it into good use today. In Jesus' holy and precious name, Lord, we love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, and amen. All right, guys, well, I got to tell you guys, is it me, or does it feel like everyone's being kind of attacked lately? I hear stories around church and people are being attacked with illnesses and stuff like that. I hear about financial attacks. I hear about all these other kind of things that's just going on in the church. And this, you know, and it happens. You know, it happens. So I don't know if it's just me or not, but does anybody else feel like they're being attacked? You know, when they go to school, do you feel like you're being attacked? You know, at home, do you feel like you're being attacked? When you go someplace, does it feel like you're being attacked? When you look at things on paper, does it feel like it's just doesn't look like it's going to get any better? And I got to tell you guys, I go through the same thing. I look at my books, and I look at my papers, and I look at life, and I say, man, this really sucks right now. And you know, and sometimes I can get down to my pity party and say, man, it's not going to get any better. And sometimes I can just look at the things I have in my grasp and say, it's not going to happen with what I have in my hand right now. And it's not going to get any better because the situation at hand dictates to me that it's not going to get any better. But I do serve a big God. I do have a Father in heaven that wants to love us and take care of us. I do believe that God told me to tell you that he loves you and wants to take care of you before we went back to sit down in our seats, because I do believe God wants you to know that. I do believe God wants you to know that he cares about you and loves you, and for any situation that you're going through, I do believe God wants you to know that, because he tells me that all the time. He shows me that even though in the natural, it's not going to form in the natural, but in the supernatural, it will come to pass. It will happen. The Bible says that we can go into the throne room and we can make our petitions known. And if there's not an answer for you, that he will form the answer for you with his hands in order for you to receive the victory. That is amazing to me that God would do that for us. But today's message is called the three I Am's. And I do feel that God wants us to talk about this a little bit deeper, because I think we do feel that sometimes we forget who we are. We forget what we need to do. We forget what we need to say, what we need to believe for in order for things to come around for us. So today we're going to look at the three I Am's, and we're looking in the book of Romans. So if you guys have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse number 14 through 17. And this is Paul writing to us. He says, I'm a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and unwise. And so as much as is in me is... Let me try that again. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are Romans also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation that everyone believes, to first the Jews and also the Greek. And for therein is the righteousness of God revealed by faith to faith, as written, the just shall live by faith. Now that is the biggest nursery rhyme I have ever heard. There are so many I ams, I wills, as in me, as is. I mean, that is very hard to say, and I am a very dark Mexican, and you know, sometimes it's hard for me to even talk English. And so for me to read this, it's hard and difficult, and I practice all morning and all night to read just this one scripture, but God told me just to go through it again and go through it again, and maybe want to eat green eggs and ham, but I didn't because I'm supposed to be a vegetarian, so I ate the eggs, but I did not eat the ham. I did have some bacon, though, and bacon is not the same as ham. Amen. I'm so excited about that. So let's break this down as what God wants us to know about this. So we're talking about the three I ams, and the first I am, Paul writes about, it says, I am a debtor. If you look at the first verse, 14, it says, I am a debtor to both the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and unwise. Now, I like when he says it here, because what Paul is simply saying is that I am indebted to everybody that's ever prayed for me, anybody that's ever invited me to church, anybody that has spoken words into my life that I've received. Anytime I came up for prayer, when Pastor Richard was praying, or Donnie prayed for us, or Tori prayed for us, or Christina prayed for us, whoever prayed for us, I am in debt to those people because they have spoken something to my life. When I went for counseling, they spoke into my life. When I didn't know what to do, and I called my friend up, and he spoke good God things into my life, I am indebted to that. If you look at Paul's history, we know that he was first named Saul. And if you guys do have your Bibles, I'm going to turn there to read it, but if you guys want to follow along in Acts chapter 9, we're talking about Saul here. And in the very beginning it says, meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath that he was eager to kill the Lord's followers. Now this is Saul, who will later become Paul. Now Saul is saying, with every breath that he wakes up in the morning, I am eager to kill all of God's followers. I am eager to go out there and to demolish everybody that says that they're a believer in Jesus Christ. That is my purpose in life, and that's what he was doing. Now, as we keep on reading on, is he's going to Damascus because he has a couple followers that go along with him, and they're going to go and kill the Christian church. Their job was to go and find Christians, men and women, bring them back, and to crucify them, kill them, have them killed in the Roman Colosseums and stuff like that. That was his job. That's what he was going to do. He was making sure that the Christians would not rise up, okay? So Saul is going to go do that. He's on the road to Damascus, and as he was approaching, we catch up with him on verse number 3. He says, he was approaching Damascus on his mission, and light from heaven suddenly shone above him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Verse number 5 says, who are you, Lord? Saul asked, and a voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you've been prosecuting. Verse number 6, now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Verse number 7, the man with Saul stood up speechless, and they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Verse number 8, Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. Verse number 9, he says, he remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. Now let's stop right there. Now, his friends went along with him to go and kill. His friends went along with him to go and prosecute. His friends were on a mission with Saul. But once they heard the voice of the Lord, once they heard an authority that comes over them, once they heard that booming voice, why are you prosecuting me? They left. They took him to a place. They took him to Damascus, and they left him there. Now, I've been into the emergency room a couple times, and I've seen friends drop off their friends in the emergency room and leave. I've never seen them stick around. Very rare do I see what happens afterwards, because the friends that were with them at that party dropped them off and left them. Whatever happened to them, happened to them. They're more concerned about themselves and what was going to happen to them than what was going to happen to you. I've seen it time and time again. I've heard testimonies time and time again. And my friends left me. My friends left me. My friends left me. I don't know about you guys, but has that ever happened to you? You don't have to raise your hands, but think about it. They left me. Same thing happened with Paul or Saul. They left him. For 3 days, 4 nights, or for 3 days, he was blind. He did not eat, did not drink. Did not eat, did not drink. Like it says in verse number 10, now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. As the Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling Ananias, Ananias replies, yes, Lord. The Lord said, go to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He was praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming and be laying hands on him so that he can see. And here's Ananias. He's a brother in Christ. God had told him to go. Now, Paul doesn't know anybody. Now, Paul's just getting visions here, because here's what's really interesting about this is Paul can't see. He's in a corner just praying. He's in a corner just praying, and he hasn't eaten, he hasn't drank. This is the biggest fast ever. For 3 days, he's not doing this. And Ananias is coming to him. Now, God's telling him something's going to happen. God's telling him I'm giving you a vision right now that you will see again. And I'm telling you these things right now because I need you to understand something. Now, Paul's in a corner. Saul's in a corner. And so when Ananias comes, he sees him, and he is praying. And Ananias prays for him, and he tells him, brother, I'm here to pray for you. I'm here to open up your eyes so that you can see again. And so Ananias does that, and he prays for him. Now, Paul is forever indebted to this, because if Ananias refused to come, if Ananias refused to speak to Saul, because he knew what Saul was, and in the Bible we read that Saul was, you know, was a tyrant and some of that, and Ananias first says to the Lord, no, I cannot go because I know what Saul does. I know he's here to prosecute. I know he's here to kill me. I know what he's here to do to the church. I don't want to go there. But God tells him, no, I chose him. Now go. So Ananias listens, he's obedient, and he goes. Now, same thing happens for us, is that there's kids out there in our schools, there's family members in our lives, there's moms, there's dads going through hard times right now, there's our brothers and sisters that are going through hard times right now. I don't know if it's true for you, but I go through hard times too. I know there's people in there in this crowd that need healing. I know their parents need healing. I know there's restoration that needs to happen. I know there's families that are fighting. I know that they're on the verge of losing their houses. I know these things because I hear these things because we get to talk to you guys, we get to pray with you guys. I know these things are happening. So Paul is saying, I am indebted to anybody that's ever prayed for me. Anyone who's ever just stopped and just listen and just let me talk to them for a moment and tell them the things that are going on in my life so that way I can get something back. So I can speak into their lives and tell them that something good is going to happen. And to tell them that something is going to rise up. To tell them that this isn't it. To tell them to keep on going. To keep on encouraging them. To keep on encouraging them. Paul says in many different books, he says, I'm coming to see you, and I'm going to give you spiritual gifts, and I hope that you will give me gifts in return by seeing your faith and the movements and the walks that you do. He says, I'm coming to see you, and I hope you minister back to me by the faith of works that you do. So when somebody tells you that you're not going to make it, your faith is, no. The Bible says, I am going to make it. When somebody gives you bad news about your health or your parents' health or something like that, you say, no. I know what the Bible says, that we are already healed. It's already been done. When someone tells you that you're going to lose your house, you're losing your jobs, that everything you ever worked for or owned is going to be taken away from you, you say, no, I know my God will restore and replenish everything that's been taken from me. I know my God is God that's merciful and full of grace. I know my God is here to bring me up and lift me up and take me out of the depths that I was in and bring me to a new promised land, a new area, and a new walk in life. I know these things because the Bible tells me these things. So Paul says, I am indebted to these people. And now we have a mandate in our lives to go and speak to those people as well. Speak to those kids that nobody would talk to in school. Just speak to your mom when your mom is just on the verge of having a nervous breakdown because of the bills are coming in, because of what's going on with your dad, because of the jobs, because of everything else going on. You speak to your mom and say, no, mom, it's going to be okay. You pray for your mom. Say, no, mom, it's going to be okay. You pray for your dad if he's going through hard times. No, dad, it's going to be okay. You give him those encouragements. You give him the pat on the back. We're mandated to do this. Paul says, I am indebted to these people. And he wants to go out and do the exact same thing that's been happening to him. He was blind, and now he's not blind. He was preaching about going to kill, and now he's preaching about life. He was in a dead-end situation, not going anywhere in life, but now he has a life of fulfillment to preach the gospel to people and to take him out of the situations that we're in. So that is the first I am. I am a debtor. Preach, pray, talk to people, love on them, because they need it. You need it. I need it every single day. Preach and pray to them. Talk to them. Love them. The second thing Paul talks about, it says, I am ready. He says, I am ready to preach the gospel. Now, this is a hard one for a lot of us because, you know, we see the homeless out there. And I got to tell you guys, those homeless guys are pretty freaky. Some of them, the eyeballs don't match. Sometimes they got poop in their hands. You know, sometimes they're just crazy. Have you ever been to Walmart? And you've seen the Walmart people. They freak me out sometimes. You know, you know, it's just so weird, but I mean, these are the people that God's talking about. Are you ready to speak the gospel? Are you ready to tell them what you know? Are you ready to share with these people that there is something better in their lives besides having poop in your hands and being homeless on the street? Are you ready to tell them these things? I mean, how many times, you know, have we missed these opportunities? How many times does somebody come up to us and they walk right past us? I believe God has purposed himself to be there with us. And to see, just how Paul was saying, to be encouraged by our faith and be encouraged by our works, to see what we're going to do so we can minister back to God. The Bible says that when I was naked, you gave me clothes. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me water. When I was these things, you gave them to me. And the disciple says, when did we see you thirsty, hungry, naked? And the Bible says, and Jesus replies, says, when you did it to the least, you did it unto me. I believe he purposed himself to be in certain places at certain times to see what kind of faith you have. I believe he tests you just to see if you're going to minister back to him or not. I believe he walks in places that we don't want to go in. I believe he sometimes is the kids that we don't want to talk to. I believe sometimes he is the homeless person that nobody wants to go next to because he smells horrible. But I believe that he purposes himself to be there at times just so we can minister back to him. I also believe there are legitimately crazy people. I do also believe there are kids in school that are just crazy kids in school. I do believe that, but I do believe the reason why they're like this is because no one's ever encouraged them. You're only going to go as far as the encouragement level goes. If mom and dad doesn't encourage you, you're not going to go any higher than that. Why? Because no one's ever told you you could. If everybody was always laughing at you and always kicking you around and pushing you in the streets and pushing you in locker rooms and then pushing you in PE and stuff like that, you're not going to go any further than that. Why? Because no one's ever told you that you could. If you're constantly going into your bedroom and crying and you don't like what you see in the mirror and you're constantly throwing up or you're looking at pornography or drugs or alcohol and stuff like that, do you plan on going any further than that? A lot of times, no. Because no one ever told you that there's something else other than this for you to progress into. I remember I was watching a couple. Punker kids, you know, they had the rancid big flag stapled to the back of the jackets. You know, they had all their spikes and stuff, and you know, everything was all done up. They had a spiky hair and things like that. And I was talking one day, and they said, "We just ran away from home." I gave them some money so they can buy some cheeseburgers and stuff like that. They said, "I just ran away from home." And I said, "Why would you do that?" He says, "Well, I don't like the way my mom and dad treated me because they wouldn't let me and my girlfriend live together." And I said, "So you ran away from home?" He said, "Yes." And I said, "Okay, well then, what is your next plan of action now that you're homeless?" He says, "Well, me and her are going to live together." "How are you going to live together when you have no home? What is your job?" "I don't have a job." "What are you going to live off of?" "I don't know." "How are you going to eat?" "I don't know." What are you going to do with your life?" "I don't know." And yet, the girlfriend was willing to go with him and follow him into the streets and live out into the cold and not have food, not have shelter, not have security, but just to be like, "We're in love." I don't understand that. If your parents are hard parents, and they're not the easiest ones to love, does that mean that that's what you have to be? It does not mean that. It means that you have an option, you have a choice, you have a decision to make, and say, "Okay, thank you, parents, for showing me what it's like to live with you." And you thank them for the wisdom that they've given you, and then you move on. And you say, "I know God has something better for me." It's simply what you do. You don't yell at them. You don't slap them in the face. You don't curse at them, say, "This is all your fault, Dad." You don't do that. You thank them for the wisdom they gave you. And then you move forward and you say, "Okay, I could do something better." No, let me take that back. You move forward and you say, "God will do something better. God will show me how to be a good dad. God will show me how to be a good mom. God will show me how to be a great husband. God will show me how to be a great mommy. God will show me how to do these things because I didn't learn that from my parents." That's what God would do for you. But we have to ask ourselves, are we ready to preach the gospel? Are we ready to tell people what Jesus Christ has done in our lives? And the gospel is simply this, that Jesus Christ came, he died on the cross, and he was born again. He was raised again from the dead. That is what the gospel is. And when I say this, your job is only to plant the seed. Okay? Listen to me very carefully about this. Is your job is only to plant the seed. There's so many people that go out there and they say, "My job is to bring salvation." It is, to a point. Your job is just simply plant the seed in their lives. You keep on encouraging them. And they ask for prayer, you pray for them, but you tell them, "What are you doing? Are you praying yourself?" "No." "Can after we get them praying, you need to go back and pray." Okay? If they come to you with multiple situations at the same time, in the same situation, you say, "What are you doing to change this? What does the Bible say about your situation?" And if they have no answers, you say, "Okay, I need you to go back and read the Bible." You cannot be their salvation. You are not their salvation. You are simply planting the seed. You plant the seed for them, and you let them make their own choice, and you let them make their own decision. You need to tell them to get back to church. You need to tell them to read their Bibles. You need to pray with them. You can't be in agreement with them. But you do not take the place of their salvation. Because once you leave, what happens to them? If they relied on you so much, what happens to them? They go right back to the same place that they were before. You plant the seed and you keep encouraging them, you keep encouraging them, you keep encouraging them. You tell them to go to church, you go to church, and you be in agreement when they are praying with you, and you be in agreement with those things, but you do not become their salvation. You cannot be, because they will start draining you down. You simply plant the seed. Paul says, I preach the gospel. He just says, I do not move in with them. He did not say, hey, I coach them along through life and everything that they do. He didn't say that. He says, I preach the gospel. I plant the seed. It's their job to take on the responsibility of what has been told to them. So many times we talk to them and say, hey, have you prayed about this? No. When are you going to pray about this? I don't know. Have you read the Bible about this? No. When are you going to start reading the Bible about this, knowing who you are? I don't know. And pretty soon we start seeing them slip away from church. We start seeing them leave church because they're not getting to the Bible. They're not getting to the Word. They're not getting to prayer. They're not getting to the message. They're not hearing it. They're not receiving it. And when we see them talking in service and they come up to after service and say, this is what's going on in my life. I said, did you pay attention to your service at all? Yes. I said, well, how come I saw you writing notes? How come we had to pull you out? How come we had to do these things? And they don't have an answer for me. And I don't understand that. If you want stuff to change your life, you have to be ready for it. You have to be ready to do these things. You have to understand what the gospel says. You have to understand what the Bible says about you. So be ready for this. Be ready to do what God told you to do. The Bible says be ready in season and out of season. There's no out of season in Christianity. You're always in season in Christianity. You're just going through a different walk in a different level right now. But you do have to be ready. People are going to ask you, and people want to know what makes you different. What makes you tick? Why is God better? Why is God different? Why does God love me? Why didn't he have answers, questions for you? And you got to be ready to tell them. Tell them what you know. Tell them what God's done for you. So be ready. Third thing Paul writes about, it says, I am not ashamed. And this is a tough one. I like it. I think we've all seen Passion of the Christ, right? And then, you know, the crucifixion scene? There's only one part Mel Gibson plays throughout the whole movie. In the crucifixion scene, Mel Gibson's hand is the one that holds the stake, and his hand is the other one that brings down the hammer. That's the only time his physical being is inside that movie. When they interview him, they ask him, why was this? He says, because I was the one that put Jesus Christ on the cross. He says, it was my sins that put him on the cross. It was the things that I did that put him on the cross. He forgave me for what I had done, and I put him on the cross. So he says, I felt that it was very important for me to go and do that. I didn't want to play any part of this movie besides direct it and tell the story of Jesus Christ, but I wanted to put my hand there in that pivotal point in the scene where he's putting the stake into Jesus' hand and nail it down. I had to do that. I had to do that. He says, it's just a strong conviction on my heart, on my part, because I think about it, and he goes on with the interview, but as he was saying that, I think about that too. It was me that put him on the cross. It was me that did that. It was my sins that I was going through. It was the tough times that I was facing. It was the things I ran to other than God that put him on the cross. It was the things that we go through in life that put him on the cross. Now that we know that, and now we know that we've been born again and free from all these things, now that we know that the sin has been already stapled to the cross, and now we know that we are no longer covered by sin, but we are now covered underneath the grace and the God's mercy. And now we know these things, we need to walk and not be ashamed of these things. Like in the Bible where the apostles are going out, and Peter just told Jesus Christ that I will follow you to the ends of the earth, even in jail and to death. I am your man, Jesus. I will follow you. And Jesus says, no, by the time the crow crows, you have denied me three times. He says, you would deny me three times. Even though Peter just said that I will die for you, I will go to jail for you. He says, no, you're going to deny me three times. When the crucifixion was happening, all the disciples ran away and scattered into different parts of the country. You couldn't find these guys. Peter denied him and says, I don't even know who Jesus is. I never walked to the guy. Even though Jesus performed miracles, even though Jesus has healing, and even though Peter performed miracles, he walked on water, even though Peter was healing, even though Peter was doing, casting out demons left and right, even though Peter was doing these things and he'd done those things, he says, I know. I have no idea who Jesus Christ was, and he ran away. Denied him three times, even though the other disciples were doing the exact same thing, preaching the gospel, healing people, cast out demons. When they saw what was going on, they left and they scattered around. Now, it's funny, when Jesus Christ comes back and he's resurrected and he's in his new body, there was no more fear left inside of him, because there was life after death. There is life after death. There's nothing that can stop him anymore. There's no reason why we should be ashamed. There's no reason why we should have any kind of fear inside of us anymore, because there's nothing that can stop us anymore. If God is for us, who else could be against us? If God is leading our lives, what can stop us and hold us back? The Bible says, who cares about what man think? Care about what I think, because I will push you further and further and further than you have ever thought you would ever go. Than you have thought that you would ever have gone. If you look back at Saul, and you look back in his life, we know that Saul became Paul. We know that he wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. But I like what it says here. It says, but let's see. Let's catch up to. Let's go to verse number 15. It says, the Lord says, go to Saul, and he is my chosen instrument. Take the message to the Gentiles and to the kings, as well as the people of Israel. Verse number 16, it says, I will show him how much he must suffer for my namesake. Verse number 17 says, so Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus Christ has appeared to you on the road and sent me that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I bring this back up again because after this, Paul was never ashamed of what the gospel did for him. He was never ashamed of what Jesus Christ had done for him, stopping him on the road to Damascus. From that point on, we know that Paul was bitten by a snake. We know that he was beaten several times. We know that he was tortured several times. We know that he was in jail several times. We know these things about Paul, but that never stopped him from preaching the gospel. That never stopped him from moving forward and doing the things that God had called him to do. That never stopped him from writing 3/4 of the Bible. That never stopped him from doing anything that God had told him to do, because he knew that there was life after death. He knew that there was life after death, and nothing could stop him. It might hurt, he might suffer for a little bit, but he knew that nothing was going to stop him from fulfilling the gospel, because there was nothing to worry about ever again. That death had no hold on him anymore, that sin had no hold on him anymore. And what I like about Paul, or actually what I like about Saul, is that Saul was a mean, mean, mean man. He was a dirty man. And Paul, and Jesus came and changed Saul into Paul, the same way he's changed me, same way he's changed you. And what's amazing about this is that when we see Paul reading, or when we see Paul praying in the corner, when Ananias is going to come and see him, I believe this is the time that God spoke to him and showed him exactly what he was going to do. I believe this is his point of salvation. I believe that God was ministering to him and telling him that I've called you, I've chose you to do something amazing. I've called you and chose you to speak to the Gentiles. And what Paul was super excited about in his life is that the scales were removed from his eyes, and there's only one voice that he can hear, and that was the voice of Jesus Christ. And there was only one voice that can minister to him, and that was the voice of Jesus Christ. And I believe he was so excited about this because we read that with every breath that he had, he went after the Christian church to kill them. But once the scales removed from his eyes, I believe that's why he was excited about this, because the religion that he had on him, the spirit of religion that he was holding on to him, which was a religious, that was a dead religion to him, that he never spoke to God. He never knew who Jesus Christ was. He never knew what the spirit was. But once that was broken off him, he was able to move forward. He felt a God that loved him. He felt a God that cared about him. He felt a God that wanted to speak to him. And he spoke to him. The way God would speak to us, he spoke to him. I believe this is the time that Paul really got an idea of who God was and what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for him. I believe during this time, Jesus spoke to him in a way that we can only imagine, because once he gets done with this, he speaks the gospel immediately. He doesn't say days later, he says immediately. He started speaking the gospel. He went out and he found the freedom that God has given him and promised us. And he spoke it with such a zeal, with such a power within him that amazes me. That he would take us out of darkness, and he would remind us on the road that we're going into. He would remind us on the path that we're facing. He would remind us on the walk that we're heading down to. And he would remind us of who we are. And he would tell us exactly what we need to do. I do believe that this is a time that we are going to be tried, and I do believe this is a time that we are going to be tested. I see it every day. And I got to tell you guys, it hurts. You know, when you guys come to me, tell me that your mom's sick or your dad's sick, when I hear the reports about what's going on in other people's lives, when I hear these reports and you know, we're talking about these things, and I got to tell you guys, even though you guys don't think we're talking about you, we're talking about you. It's not in a bad way. Well, we hurt for you. We do the same thing with the leaders. When we hear that somebody's hurt or sick or something like that, we hurt for them. We pray with them. We love on them. You guys need to understand that. Now, we don't do this for selfish motives. You know, I don't do this because I get to preach in front of you guys. You know, that's not the idea. You know, Donnie doesn't give the time that he gives and sacrifices for you guys with doing a Breaking Free ministry because he gets to preach in front of the pulpit. He does it because he cares about you. Pastor Richard and Pastor Michelle are the same way. The interns are the same way. Any volunteer that comes in here is the same way. Anybody here should feel the same way for each other. That we should be praying about each other. That we should be loving each other. That we should be picking each other up and telling each other it's going to be okay. I do see a gigantic difference in a Sunday night than I do in a Wednesday night. I see it because when you guys are praising and worshiping, you guys are praising and worshiping. When I see you guys sit down in the seats, you guys are sitting down in the seats. You know, when you guys come on a Sunday and when we're praying, I see you guys crying. And I see you guys leaving stuff at the altar. And it's left here. I see when things are being prayed over that they're falling off of you. I see these things. I know it's being left. I know you guys are going to issues. I think this is the reason why you guys come back. Is you feel that there's more of God that I need, and there's more of God that I want. There's more things in life I need to be rid of. I need answers in my life. I need things in my life. I need changes. I need healing. I need restoration. I need a dad figure. I need a good mom. I need restoration in my family. I need these things. And I said it before, and I always keep saying it. I don't think that's too much to ask for. I don't think it's enough to be asked to be taken care of. Does that make sense? I'm 30 years old. I want to be taken care of. I got a wife and kids, and I want to take care of them. I got to tell you guys, I don't know all the answers. I don't. I fall very hard sometimes, very hard. There's mornings I don't know what to pray about. There's times where I'm at work and it's between firing somebody or you know cutting back two people. You know, there's times where I gotta make decisions about what stores to close. You know, I don't want to do it because there's people in those stores and there's families at stake and there's times I don't know what to do about those issues. And I don't think it's wrong to ask for help. I don't think it's wrong for you to just simply say, hey, I don't know what to do about this situation. I don't know what to do about this situation. I don't know how to make these choices. So what I want to do tonight is I want to have a little time for us to have some ministry time with God. We're going to open up the altar, or actually before we open up the altar, I'm going to let you guys journal for a little bit and stuff like that. Just spend that time with God. Then we'll open up the altar and we'll take prayer requests. So if you guys have prayer requests, you need some healing in your life, you know somebody needs healing in life, I want you to think about that. Addictions, I want you guys to think about that. We want to do prayer requests. Now, as we are doing prayer requests, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to ask you guys, some of you guys, and I believe he's going to put something inside of your heart that you want to pray about. Okay? And so when that time comes, if you have something to pray about, just line up right here. On the side, and I'm going to let you guys pray about it, okay? We'll be in all agreement with it. And this is something absolutely crazy, like you want to rule the world. But, you know, if it's something, you know, that's legitimate, we'll be in agreement with you. We'll pray about it. Now, I don't want you guys to be nervous about it because we are a family, we are brothers and sisters, and we should be doing this kind of stuff together. We will be in agreement with each other, and we will love each other, okay? Now, while we're doing this, I want to make sure we are perfectly clear about this. If you're not praying or participating in this, just be respectful for the people that are. Okay? If you're talking and laughing and stuff like that, I'm going to have you removed from the service. All right? If you guys are laughing about the prayer requests and things like that, I will remove you from service. Okay? This is a family. We don't need to laugh at each other. Right? So I just want to make sure this is perfectly clear before we do that. Now, before we do any of this, let's make sure everyone's right with God before we go and continue on with service. Now, I'm going to do it real quick. And I'm going to just tell you the way it is. Jesus Christ wants a relationship with you. He wants to love on his boy and his little girl. That's simply it. That's it. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to tell you that he loves you. He wants to listen to the good, bad, and ugly that you have. He wants to listen to the complaints that you have. He wants to hear about your good grades in school. He wants to hear about your football catches. He wants to hear about your A's and your grades and stuff like that. He wants to hear about everything that you have and everything that you are. He wants to know everything about you, and he wants you to share that with him. That's it. Now, I do got to tell you this, though. When I count to three, I'm going to slap my hands in a pulpit, and if you have never done this, and God's calling on you and tugging on your heart, I want you to raise your hands. Now, if you've never done this before, and you keep your hands in your lap, you're simply saying, God, I don't need you, and I don't want you. That's what it says in the Bible. He says, confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father. If you make no decision, you made a decision. If you keep your hands in your pockets, and you've never done this before, you have made your decision. But you guys need to know that there's no guarantee for tomorrow. And you guys need to know that we have no guarantee for tomorrow. You guys need to know that. Okay? So God forbid that you were to die tonight. God forbid you were to die tonight. And you were to wake up. Where would you wake up? Heaven or hell? So I count down three. And if you have never done this before, go ahead and raise your hands. Okay? So one, two, three. Anybody? Are we sure? Okay. Then, let's do this then. If we are all positive, we are all sure, and we know that we've done this before, and we're all comfortable with this, then I'm comfortable with this. Then the next thing we have to do is that there's a lot of empty seats here on a Sunday night. A lot. Okay? We start inviting some of our friends to church, because they need to know what God tells them, thinks about them. And wouldn't it be amazing to see your friends raise their hands in the middle of service so that way you can see them in heaven? Right? Wouldn't it be amazing to see your brother or sister come to church and raise their hands so you can see them in heaven? So we have a lot of empty seats. So our next job, next Sunday, is we need to see more kids in here. Right? Because they're your friends, they're your relatives, they're your brothers and sisters, they're your cousins. So if we're okay, I'm going to count down back from three. Now I'll slap my hands in the pulpit and then we'll close off. And then we can go and do some studying time, okay? So, three. Don't miss out on this. Two. One. Okay. Well, guys, let's take about 5 minutes. Let's do some journaling. You can go anywhere you want in service. Just don't leave them to the bathrooms and try to run out the doors or anything like that. But the altar's open to you guys. Go ahead and pray to God for a little bit. You guys can move around and get up, and then we'll pray for a little bit, okay? So you guys go ahead and move.
standing back there in my own, and I'm praying, and Lou and I are talking, and Spirit of God is speaking, and here's what's going on, you guys. I don't know who you are or where you're at, but there's people in here where there's a huge heaviness. And what I see is a big cloud that's like a black cloud just hovering over you. And what it is, it's got a stronghold on your mind and your thought life. If that's you, and you have an issue with a stronghold in your mind, meaning you're having thoughts of suicide, thoughts of homosexuality, thoughts of cutting, all these things combined, if that's you, I want you to stand up. I want you to be bold, because what we're going to do is we're going to pray. And when you stand up and we pray for you, those strongholds are going to come right down. Those walls that are there are going to come right down. So if that's you, I want you to stand up. If you have a thought of any kind of thoughts like that, any kind of negative thought that shouldn't be there, I want you to stand up. Don't be stupid and know you have it and stay in your seat. If you want God to heal you and touch you and break you free, then you need to stand up. You need to say, you know, God, I'm here. I'm going to stand up. When we pray for you, it's going to come down. So if that's you, I want you to stand up. Thank you. Thank you for being bold. Who else in here is bold? There is more than three people. We are not going to call you out, but if that's you and you know that's you, stand up. Don't play around with God. When God's here and God wants to heal you, then you need to stand up. Who gives a flip about the people next to you? They're not your issue. Your issue is you, and you need to get healed. You need God to heal you, and you need God to restore you. So I'm going to give it a few more seconds, a couple more. And if God's speaking to you, you need to stand up, because I'm going to tell you something. What God is showing me is when you stand up, He's beginning to pull that stronghold down. He's beginning to break that stronghold. He's beginning telling you, people who have been told that you're nothing and you're negative and you feel like nothing, and He's going to heal you and raise you up. There's people in here who are hurting. There's people in here who are not only mentally hurting, but physically hurting. If that's you, stand up. Let God demonstrate His power tonight. Let God heal you. There's people in here. A few more minutes, and then I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to pass the mic back to Lou. If that's you, stand up. There's another group in here real quick that has a lot of unbelief towards God. There's a group in here, there's people in here who believe in God but don't really believe in God. If that's you, you need to break this stronghold. You need to break this mental thought that you have. You know, the Bible says the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. You've heard us say it over and over. Kill, steal, and destroy. Why? Because he wants to take you out. To take your life out. He wants to slam you, smash you, run you over like a mad truck. Why? Because he wants nothing from you. But the verse after that says, but I give you life, more abundantly. And that's what Jesus is saying to you guys. If that's you and you want that life, stand up. Let God heal you. Father, I come to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord God, I pray right now, God, for every thought of suicide, every thought of anger, every depression in here, every homosexuality thought, every thought that is not of you, Father God. Your word says to take it into obedience of Christ. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, God, we take hold of these negative thoughts. We take hold of the anger. We take hold of depression. We take hold of thoughts of suicide. We take hold of homosexuality. We take hold of negativity. We take hold of these things that are holding us back. Right now, Lord God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you release us, that you break these thoughts, that you break these chains that the devil has put upon us, that you break them in the name of Jesus. I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I tell you, you have no place, you have no authority over your youth. Right now, they will rise up, they will be healed, and they will be restored. Why? Because you went to the cross. Your blood drove and dipped and dripped everywhere for us. Why? Because you want us to be free. So right now, Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the power of your blood. We thank you for the power of your cross. We thank you, Father God, for your freedom that's here. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
All right. Now, I asked you guys before we did journaling that I believe God's going to put something inside your hearts. And so is there anybody that got something from God that just feels like they need to pray about it right now? Does anybody need healing right now in their families? And God put in your heart just to pray about it. Now, I know for a fact that we need healing in our lives. I know there's some families dealing with it right now. And nobody wants to pray about it.
Father God, we just come to you tonight, Father God, because there's just issues, Father God, in our families, Father God, and even in ourselves, Father God, that we all need healing, Father God, maybe not physically, but mentally, Father God, because we stumble, we trip, we fall, Father God, but you will pick us back up, Father God. You will lift us higher, Father God. You will mend the relationships in our family, Father God, and you will hold us tightly, Father God, when we sleep at night, Father God. No more crying, Father God, about our families, Father God, and how they're splitting, Father God. You will just give us power, Father God. You will help us to rise up, Father God, and be the light to our family, Father God, so that we can just live for you, Father God, and have our families live for you, Father God. And I pray that our families would no longer fight, Father God, if they're fighting financial issues, they would just disappear, Father God, and that we would just be able to live life for you, Father God, with no distractions, Father God. That we would just be able to kick the enemy out, Father God, out of our house, Father God, out of our mind, Father God, and just out of our lives completely, Father God. Nothing that can stand in the way of you, Father God, because you are, Father God. Are, Father God, the most important thing, Father God, in our life, Father God, and you should be the most important thing in our families, Father God, because we, Father God, as a generation, Father God, just we need to rise up, and we just need to step up, Father God, and believe for your healing, Father God, and all of our families, Father God. That's, I pray in your holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen. Well, we should only have a few more minutes left in service, so let's do this. Let's end on a good note, okay? Because I do believe God is restoring a lot of us. I do believe God is healing a lot of us. I do believe God touched a lot of us right now. And I do believe the Spirit of God is moving within us right now. I do believe the prayers that were talked about and prayed about today has moved inside of your hearts. I do believe a lot of you guys have a different mindset about who God is and who you are. So let's pray about that. And let's just thank God for what he's done. So, Father God, we just want to come to you, Lord. And we just want to thank you, Father, for being that good God and loving us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for healing us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us to a place of salvation, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for just loving on us, Lord, when we're unworthy to be loved at times, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for taking us out of the sin, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for just moving in our direction, Father. We thank you, Lord, for bringing healing to our families, restoration to our families, bringing finances to our families. We thank you, Lord, that you've made us, you made us your children, Father, with a voice, Father God, that can speak. We thank you, Lord, that you made us yours in your own image, Father God, so we can do the things that you called us to do, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for just being amazing. Amazing, Father, that when we can pray that you would stop and you would listen to us, Lord. You are the God that holds the span of the universe in your hand, and yet you would stop and you would listen to us talk, Father God. You would stop and you heal us, Lord. And you would stop and you would strengthen us, Lord. And you would stop and you hear our cries, and you would hear our victories, and you would hear our joys, and you would hear our sorrows, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for being that God, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for being just amazing in the way that you are, Father, in the way that you move, in the way that you work, Lord. We may not understand it every single time, Father God, but we know it's for the benefit of us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for what you've done and what you're going to do for the rest of our lives, Lord. I ask, Father God, we just hand ourselves over to you, Lord, and that we would practice righteousness, Lord. I ask that we hand ourselves over to you, Father God, and we could be fully committed to you, Lord. Just simply to be yours. Just simply to be yours, Lord. I ask that you take care of us, Father. And I ask that you just lift us up, Father God. And I ask, Father God, that we would live our lives just for you, Lord. And we just want to give you the great big shout, Lord. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. And everybody said, amen. All right, guys. Well, we got a couple more minutes, so I'm going to go ahead and pronounce a blessing over you guys, and we'll go into the cafe and game room. If you guys need prayer, Tori and Christina, can you stay up with us? We'll have Tori and Christina up on the altars, and we'll pray. And if you guys need, you know, just more counseling, so that Donnie's here, I'm here, and Tori and Christina will be here, and so yeah, I just want to leave that open to you guys. So everybody stand up to your feet. Let me pronounce a blessing over you guys, and you guys can go to the cafe game room. Father God, I ask that you just watch over your saints, Lord. You bless them coming and going, Lord, that everything they lay their hands to shall prosper. And Lord, with a great big shout, we say that the Inland Empire shall be saved.